Heartland. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Declaration of Independence, second sentence. This is an intergenerational service. There is no joint RE today. There will be coffee in the social hall after the service. Then let's go over to the LCUUC fundraiser at Piggly Wiggly in Heartland. Esther will be selling Fair Exchange coffee and tea today. We have about $200 worth remaining. Everything is 10% off until all is sold. Thank you, Esther.
Ring, O bells, from every steeple. Tell the story far and near. Let the breezes bear your echoes. Freedom's natal day is here. Come, let us worship and celebrate together. Please take a moment to say hello or introduce yourself to the people around you this morning. Thank you.
put the plate down on the put the plate down on the tray. Yeah, there.
Blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing Song of Freedom. The words are in your order of service.
Service, but the melody is probably not in your head yet, so we're going to run through the chorus first. Is the Ring, O Bells, and Shout, O People, Float, O Flag, from Sea to Sea. Can you just play that line? Try it together. Ring, O bells, and shout, O people, float, O flag, from sea to sea. And the next line of the chorus, please. It's very similar. Here we go.
We, thy children, rally on the hail, O flag of liberty.
Now the verse is very similar. It's just about twice as long. So let's just sing it through one time. We'll just sing the verse together, and you'll kind of hear where we part ways. But two, ready, go.
Ring, O bells, from every steeple, tell the story far and near. Let the breezes bear your echoes. Freedom's natal day is here. Fire the guns and shout our freedom. See the flag above unfurled. Hail the stars and stripes forever. Dearest flag in all the world.
And I think the pattern is we sing the chorus, we sing a verse, and then is there a final chorus? And a final chorus. Oh, here we go.
Ring, O bells, and shout, O people, flag on flag from sea to sea. We, thy children, rally round the hail, O flag of liberty. Ring, O bells, from every steeple, tell the story far and near. Let the breezes bear your echoes. Freedom's natal day is here. Fire the guns and shout our freedom. See the flag above unfurled. Hail the stars and stripes forever. Dearest flag in all the world. Ring, O bells, and shout, O people. Float, O flag, from sea to sea. We, thy children, rally round thee. Hail, O flag of liberty. to save. He on where your shadow lingers, never more can be a slave. May all glory flow forever on Orvoil and Mountain Crag. See her stars on every ocean, one dear country, one dear flag. Ring, O bells, and shout, O people, float, O flag, from sea to sea. We, thy children, rally round thee. Hail, O flag of liberty.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community, served with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Barb Adams, and I'm the worship associate this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. If you are a blue blood Plymouth Rock descendant, you are welcome here. If you are gearing up for your annual family and friends 4th of July feast and celebration, you is us. If you are a veteran who has served in or outside the United States, we honor your presence among us. If you are a parade-going, flag-waving, marching band participant, please know that we are too. If this day moves you to meditate in a green sanctuary, your thoughts and prayers bring us all together. If you are a stateless refugee from a war-torn country, we will receive comfort and help you in any way we can. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out our webpage at lcuuc.org to stay current on services and events. If you have not done so already, please silence all electronics you may have chosen, have brought here with you today. Again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to worship and celebrate with us.
Lights on. Good. One of the ways we care for the wider community is by collecting for local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items. If you brought some today, please locate a child and ask them to bring them forward for you. And children, you come forward and bring your flags. Every child in body and or spirit. Let's sit down. Good. See if I can sit down. Okay, this is a story about the first flag. Now, this country declared its independence 250 years or so ago. And that was July 4th, 1776. But the Revolutionary War actually broke out before that. Now, in that time, they didn't have tanks or airplanes, and the soldiers were fighting on foot. And things could get pretty confusing. So the sides needed a flag so they knew where their commander was and which side was which. Well, in those early days, there were lots of different flags that the Continental armies from the colonies were using. And some of them looked like the British. Now, what was going on here was that the original 13 states were 13 colonies that belonged to England. And the colonists were really annoyed at the way they were being treated by the king and the parliament. So they were declaring independence. But if their flags looked like the British flags, well, you can imagine how confusing that was. And Commander George Washington, General George Washington, was the commander of the Continental Army. And he and a committee from the Continental Congress got together and came up with a design for a flag. And as you can see, the flag has 13 stripes, red, white, alternating stripes, and some stars on a blue field. And the committee said that those stars on that blue field were a new constellation. Stars in the sky constellation? Well, that kind of tells us why that piece of the flag is blue, doesn't it? Okay, well, Betsy Ross said, well, now, George, that's a very nice flag design, and I can do that, but I see that you've put on 6 pointed stars. And it would be a lot easier if they were 5 pointed stars. And George said, oh, how come? And Betsy said, well, I could just make it with 1 snip. And George said, no. And she said, yes, no, said George. You have to show me. So she did. And I'll show you. And here's how she did it. She said, okay, look. Take this piece of cloth. Pretend this is a piece of cloth, okay? We'll fold it. And then we fold it. And then we make a funny fold like this. Kitty corner. See, like that. And then like this. And then like this, and then like this. Okay, see where we are now? All right, now we're going to fold it in the middle here. It's getting hard to fold. And one more little fold here. Now we have an intersection. Where are my scissors? And Betsy said, okay, watch. Snip. Okay. Now, do you think this is a flag? What do you think? A star? Do you think it looks like a star? Huh? Well, let's open it up and see. Come on now. Okay. Now, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to sing It's a Grand Old Flag and Where Are Our Flags? And you kids can march around. We're going to sing it twice. So if you want to march around, you can while we're singing, and then go back to your seats. Okay?
Thank you.
Will Esty will be singing those beautiful words on the Statue of Liberty, "Give me your tired, your poor." Since this is offertory music, I suggested to Nancy that we change the words, "Give me your money, your lot, and lots of it." But she wouldn't have any of it. Oh well. But there will be a special offering this morning. Reverend Amy told me that she was on a conference call with 487 clergy of all faiths on Friday, which I can hardly imagine a conference call like that, but nevertheless, talking about how to help the black churches in the South, which have been burned at the end of last month. And the Rebuild the Churches Fund is the centerpiece of that effort. So loose change or loose currency in today's offering and any checks you choose to write will go to that fund. The morning offering will now be given and received.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of this community and the rebuilding of those churches.
This is the time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Good morning, my name is Will. A candle of joy in that we've welcomed the newest member of our family in George William Condon. My eldest daughter just gave birth on the 1st.
Hi, my name is Dave. I have a joy to share. My parents are moving out of the house they've been in since the year 1976, actually. And I'm just thankful that they are kind of making a transition to a smaller house and easier lifestyle while they're still healthy enough to do that and take care of everything. So I'm very grateful for their foresight and for everything they've done for us, providing the home that they have this last however many years.
This is Amy. I have two candles. One is a joy for everyone from this church who participated in either of the parades and walked and waved and did so wonderfully, and we got such a marvelous response both times. What a joy to see the response to our church and our folks. The other one is a candle of love and concern for the 9 people killed at Mother Emanuel AME and for the black churches which have been burned. Our hearts go out to all those people.
Hi, this is Linda. This is just a candle of joy to the sound committee who spent many hours on Friday rewiring and taking the cable that's down on the floor someplace up there so none of us can see it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Helen. If you could light a candle of concern. My sister's worked for a doctor up in Appleton, and I've met him many times. He's missing, and he's been missing for over a week. He walked away from his place in Ephraim, Wisconsin, his cabin, and they're still looking for him. So it might be an issue with his health.
This is Esther. This is concerning yesterday's parade, which I believe there were 13 of us, 13 or 14 of us that were in there. But I thought the photographer who took a picture of us said that they're supposed to be able to find us on Facebook, but since I'm not a person that uses that Facebook or anything like that, give us the information. Maybe you can. Okay, why don't you tell us how to find us, and also I guess you can download the picture of us. They were going around taking pictures of every group that was going to parade, be in the parade.
And we will light the last candle for those joys and concerns, joys and sorrows, which we hold deeply, but have which not been named here today.
You think you know this land is your land. I did. But actually, most of us don't. Woody Guthrie wrote it in anger as a critical response to Irving Berlin's God Bless America. You see, during his travels in the 1930s, Guthrie was witness to prejudice, violence, hatred, and hunger. And he felt that the last thing this country needed was Berlin's heavenly endorsement. Guthrie's words capture the endless beauty of this country, from the end of the skyways to the diamond deserts to the waving wheat fields. But the original lyrics are actually full of radical ideas. For one thing, it questions the very notion of private property. And it balances those depictions of physical beauty with images of hungry people in line at the relief office. Is this land made for you and me? That ambiguous questioning, nuanced, angry, but ultimately hopeful version is not the one that we know today. The tougher verses are gone. They've disappeared. The arrangements are bland. Quite trite, aren't they? And so what we're left with is a piece that we hear performed so often, but we don't actually hear it anymore. It's turned into God Bless America. So what we'd like to do for you is perform a song that we often take for granted, but hopefully you'll hear it in a new way.
Let us be still for a few moments, joining our hearts and minds in silence and feeling the enormous power of community.
The Thrill of Political Hating by Arthur C. Brooks, President of the American Enterprise Institute. This is excerpted. The 2016 presidential race is already upon us. Do you find that prospect exciting or exhausting? If you chose the latter, I'm willing to wager in part, it's in part because of the destructive rhetoric that threatens to accompany the election. The conventional approach is to blame the politicians and the tacticians for this dreaded odium politicum. But we citizens need to look inward a little. Whether or not we want to admit it, political hate is a demand-driven phenomenon. We are the ones creating a big market for it. Political hate generally appears in one of three basic forms. The first is what some psychologists call hot hate, based on anger. Imagine yourself yelling at the television and you get the picture. Most Americans would be ashamed to say, I hate Republicans or I hate Democrats. But our market preferences tell the true story. We reward professional political pundits who say or write that the other side is evil or stupid or both. For some haters, the hot variety is a little too crude. They prefer cool hate, based on contempt, and express disgust for another person through sarcasm, dismissal, or mockery. Cool hate can be every bit as damaging as hot hate. The social psychologist and relationship expert John Gottman was famously able to predict with up to 94% accuracy whether couples would divorce just by observing a brief snippet of conversation. The biggest warning signs of all were indications of contempt, such as sarcasm, sneering, and hostile humor. As it is in love, so it is in politics. With just an ironic smile, one can dismiss an entire class of citizens as uncultured rubes or mindless theocrats. Feigning shock and dismay at the resulting indignation simply adds insult to injury. The last variety is anonymous hate. Political discourse has always had a shadowy component all the way back to Thomas Paine's pamphleteering in favor of American independence. But nothing has empowered casual vitriol in the internet age like the pressure on news organizations to publish any and all anonymous feedback. This has scaled up our ability to express political hate with astonishing efficiency. So there you have it, a field guide to political hate. Millions of Americans dislike it, but should we care about its effects? Some dismiss it as simply inevitable. Others, myself included, see it as both damaging and regrettable, joining the Dalai Lama in the belief that all hate is, quote, our true enemy, unquote, with, quote, no other function than simply destroying us, both in the immediate term and in the long term, unquote. In his first inaugural address on March 4, 1801, Thomas Jefferson felt it necessary to warn the young nation that having banished from our land that religious intolerance under which mankind so long bled and suffered, we have gained little if we countenance a political intolerance as despotic, as wicked, and capable of bitter and bloody persecutions. If you agree with the Dalai Lama and Jefferson, you can fight back this election season. Declare your independence by not consuming, celebrating, or sharing the heated outrage and negative punditry, even if it comes from those with whom you agree. Avoid indulging in a snarky, contemptuous dismissals of Americans on the other side. And always own up to your views. On the other hand, if you disagree, go ahead and leave a comment under an assumed name.
That was going to be short and sweet. Six weeks ago, July 5th was an empty slot on the Worship Arts Committee summer service calendar. While I was browsing YouTube, I found that video of the Boston Children's Chorus doing "This Land Is Our My Land, This Land Is Your Land." I thought to myself, oh, let's do a good-old-fashioned patriotic song fest. I was thinking of Sousa marches and small-town parades like we had in Heartland last Sunday and Oconomowoc yesterday, about rooting for the U.S. women's soccer team, about how tears well in my eyes when the Star Spangled Banner is played before the kickoff at a football game, or when the Milwaukee Symphony starts its season, about coming back from overseas and having the customs officer hand me back my passport and say, "Welcome home." I should have known that in UU committees, suggesting is synonymous with volunteering, an assignment is automatic. So here we are. I love Woody Guthrie's "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land." So for a title, I thought it would be a great idea to collapse the pronouns and call the service "This Land Is Our Land." I meant our in the largest sense, including anyone for whom this land feels like home. Our included those whose ancestors called this land home long before English settlers landed on the East Coast. Our included those who have made this land home in spite of not having the proper documentation. The R of this land includes many ancestries, many colors, many voices. R includes anyone who might feel inclined to celebrate the courage and vision of those who proclaimed that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness. And by so proclaiming, put in process an unfolding of entitlements, the most recent of which we saw 10 days ago in the ruling of the Supreme Court on gay marriage. Then, on June 17th, Dylan Roof killed 9 worshipers in Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. After Roof was caught, Reverend Amy posted a link on Facebook reporting that Link had said to the worshipers, "You're taking over our country." In horror, I heard "our" in a new and terrible way. Well, what should I do? Was there time to change? Had the title gone to press? Then I thought, better that we revisit we-they perceptions and their dangers. Now, research has shown that given the most minimal differences, we sort ourselves into we's and they's. Harvard social psychologist Roger Brown argues that this built-in strategy of social cognition serves to enhance our self-esteem. And I'll add that it's an important way of satisfying our need for connection. Those advantages are strengthened when we glorify the we and vilify the they. Now, if this reasoning is sound, then we can understand why it is that seeing we as good and they as bad will be particularly important to those who feel marginalized, victimized, or feel that their power is slipping away. Now, I have to confess that part of my motivation in proposing this service was my pique, my annoyance at the conflation or linking of patriotism with conservative values. After 9/11, we heard that those who opposed the Patriot Act didn't love this country. Rudy Giuliani is not the only person to assert that Barack Obama does not love this country. In preparing these remarks, I did Google searches on liberal versus conservative, patriotism, liberal patriotism, conservative patriotism. And predictably, I found that websites belonging to conservative groups like the National Review insisted that liberals are less patriotic than conservatives. And websites belonging to liberal groups insist that liberals are more patriotic than conservatives. Both liberals and conservatives strive to claim the patriotic high ground and to show that we are better than they are. It seems to boil down to how we understand what patriotism is. Is it pride that says, "My country, right or wrong"? Or is it pride that says, "My country can right its wrongs"? Or both? Love of country that is accompanied by awareness that we have fallen short of our ideals is complicated. When Martin Luther King denounced the Vietnam War, he emphasized that he did so out of a deep love for this country. But that piece has been largely ignored. Are criticism and love compatible? For you use, patriotism is complicated by our sense of belonging to the larger human community. Insofar as patriotism is experienced as exclusivity, America first and best, you use will probably be uncomfortable. Now let's get back to the point here. When someone claims the patriotic high ground and says, if you don't agree with us, you aren't patriotic, and you aren't one of us, we are patriotic and they aren't, there is a problem. Now, in the interest of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, let's do some soul searching. Our UU literature, I think I have it here, yep. Our UU literature describes Unitarian Universalism as a liberal religion born of the Jewish and Christian traditions. While we are religiously liberal, we are inclusive, open, and welcoming to a variety of political positions. Lots of us are Democrats, but we are also Republicans, libertarians, socialists, and other political persuasions. Just as there are many doors to the sacred, there are many windows looking out of a patriotic heart. That op-ed piece Barb read on the thrill of political hating made me squirm. Truth be told, I am a first-class political hater. Master of the sneer and the eye roll. Now I'm caught. Worrying about a mote in a conservative eye with a beam in my own. Political hating is a close cousin to claiming the patriotic high ground, and probably more dangerous in the long run. Certainly, the political hating that has eroded bipartisan politics has not been good for this country. The necessary companion to freedom is responsibility. Without responsibility, freedom is merely license. We have a responsibility to listen to opposing views. Now, granted, real conversation sometimes just isn't possible. Belligerent bombast is not conversation. We all have acquaintances and maybe even family members with whom our conversations are restricted to the weather and the Packers. But when real conversation is possible, let's give others the benefit of the doubt. Assume they love this country as much as we do. Respect their right to have beliefs and opinions different from ours. Let's try to engage in dialogue that moves this country toward a more perfect union. Pronouns can be dangerous. We, they, ours, theirs. Woody Guthrie had it right all along. And I stand corrected. This land is your land. This land is my land.
Please
Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in a rousing, boisterous, joyous, this land is your land. Because of those who came before, we are. In spite of their failings, we believe. Because of and in spite of the horizons of their vision, we too dream. Let us go, remembering to praise, to live in the moment, to love mightily, to bow to the mystery. Blessed be.